Father, thank you for being here this morning, and best we be at home, Father, if we're not yet to seek you, and best we leave now if you're not the center of what we want to do here, Father. And just welcome you in a special way today again, Father. Thank you for being here. And just really sense we must take some time. Just close your eyes and just remember. Remember where you've come from. Remember where God has saved you from. Remember the car accident or the bad relationship or the terminal illness. The child that was sick cried out, God, where are you? And when you look back, he was right there. And still, yeah. Just take a moment and just give God glory for what he's already done in your life. How faithful he's already been. Just put focus on how amazing our Savior is. Just try and remember the cross and what he's done for you, the price you should have paid. Just take a moment and glorify him. Think back, bring into remembrance. Father, how amazing are you? We just bless your name this morning. We just say you are the great King. You are the great Savior. We just honor you this morning. You are so holy, and you are yet to meet with us, Father. You are yet to build relationship with us. You are yet to talk to us this morning, individually, each one, specifically. We just come bring into remembrance how great you are in our own lives, in our individual journeys with you. We come and say, holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty. And we just honor you in our lives and just praise you and reverence you this morning. You're a good Father and you're a good King. And you're the only true God. And what is there possibly that we can give you other than our lives and our hearts that is of any value, Father? Just come have your place in our hearts this morning, in this place this morning. Thank you for being so faithful, so strong, never changing, so solid. Thank you for never hurting us. Thank you for always protecting us. Thank you for being the rock of ages. Thank you that everything just smashes and breaks against you, Father. There's nothing that can overpower you. We just honor you. I just really sense God this morning challenging you to do something physically that you haven't done before for him. Something that's out of your comfort zone, just to express maybe what's going on in your heart. And for everyone, that is different. For someone, it might just be raising your hands. Maybe raising your hands is a big issue for you. Maybe it's difficult for you. Maybe saying to Jesus in a quiet voice, I love you, is strange. How can one man say to another man, I love you? So in a moment, whatever that is for you, whatever that limit is, that boundary is, physically, break through it now in the Spirit. This is a safe space. I really just sense that there's freedom this morning for those who want it. God is a God of freedom. Be free, man. Be free. Be free. Be free. Jesus has come to set you free. Be free. Be free from that sickness, that disease, that fear, that worry, that past, that baggage, that pain, that hurt. Be free. Jesus has come to give you life and life in abundance. It's freedom. There's joy in this place, man. There's freedom in this place. Jesus is here to meet with us. He's here to give you freedom so you can walk in the freedom that he paid this expensive price for. Accept it. Accept it. Embrace it. Don't be scared. Father, thank you for the work that you are starting now. We just come and seal that seed that is being planted. And I thank you that during the sermon, during this week, during the months to come, that that freedom and liberty which you have started in the hearts of your people this morning will continue. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Band, you rock. Hey? Excuse the pun. Yeah. What a privilege. Morning, welcome. Welcome. How amazing is it? How amazing is God, man? Hey? How amazing is serving Him? What a privilege to be able to be and just know Him and being able to interact with Him. All the mighty young people God are raising up. What an amazing, amazing privilege. I've just been challenged in my own life with this heaviness and this physical, you know, you're sort of pushing through and going through all the emotions and you know, just as preparing for the sermon, just realize what is it that we are allowing to weigh down on us? The Savior of the world is for us. He's with us and He's given us a purpose and a plan. So, wake up, Sean. Talking to myself. I'm Sean, for those of you that don't know me. For the people, yeah, maybe for the first few times, relax. Not going to ask you to do anything funny. So, when God moves, we just be obedient. So relax and have fun, man. God is about freedom and about liberty. So just have fun this morning. I really want to challenge you guys this morning, even as the sermon goes on, that whatever God is busy doing in your heart, the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, be obedient, listen, write it down, go home, think about it, pray through it. I really believe God is freeing people of many of things this morning. But it's not a once-off event. It's a daily journey. So go home, enjoy it, and embrace that freedom. You know, if you've been like me and you've taken a few bad turns in life, you understand when you can breathe again and God is there and you can just feel like, life is nice again. You know, nothing changes in the circumstances. Everything still stays the same on the outside. But on the inside, something changes. So everything just magically sort of supposedly changes. But that's God and that's God's life. And yeah, so how exciting is it to be able to serve Him? Don't ever get bored with Jesus, because that just means that you're getting boring. I'm speaking to myself. Enjoy this journey, man. It's an amazing journey. It's a freeing journey. It's not always easy. And we're going to look at that a bit this morning. It's not always easy. But it's not supposed to be easy. There's a marathon runner that I read one of his books and he says, if it doesn't hurt, you're not doing it right. So I think on the one side that is true. Pleasure seekers. Pleasure seekers. There are two assassins that are killing Christians on a daily basis. So I've sort of given one of them away. And I think some of us know them very well. I know I've known them very well in my life many a times. And these assassins that kill us without knowing it. Pleasure and comfort. The new charismatic bubble that we're supposed to live in. God's blessing. Blessing of God is to have all my checks and balances right, you know. Have everything nice and comfortable, live a comfortable life, whatever that means for you. So some that means big house, 5 cars. Someone else that means all the time at home to spend with family and friends. Whatever that word is. And I wonder if that's true. I wonder if that is why Christ died on the cross. I wonder if He died on that cross, being so sold out to one thing, doing the will of the Father, for us to be comfortable. For us to pursue pleasures. And we'll put this in context. I'm not saying it's this heavy burden, I'm suffering for the cause of Christ, can't have a nice car. It's not what I'm saying. So we'll get to that. Please don't go over to the other side of the same coin. where we feel we have to chastise ourselves and struggle our whole lives through because we're fighting for God and we're living for Him. No, that's also rubbish. But we have these assassins that kill us spiritually. Pleasure and comfort. Because we pursue them with good intentions. I'm going to buy a bigger house so that I can have more youth gatherings at my house. No, liar, liar, pants on fire. You want a big house because you want a big house. Okay. I'm going to... What's another relevance? I'm talking about myself. Don't get offended. I'm using examples for me. I'm going to go and buy a tent so we can go camping so we can reach more people. No, you just want to do it because it's nice for you. And that's okay. As long as I understand and the core and the center of my life is centered. So, and that's where we're going to put this in context. None of these things are bad. It's not bad to have things. It's bad to have things have you. And things are from food. Me, used to be nice and a Ross man. Food used to have me. It was my comfort. Because I couldn't afford any more nice car. All my cars were repossessed. So I had my one car. So now the next pleasure for me was food. So I'd overeat. Because that would fill the void. I really believe we have become a generation, and by that I don't mean age. I think the younger the ages go, the more it becomes relevant. But as a group of people alive today, we've become a generation who seek pleasure. We've become pleasure seekers. I think if God had to label us as a church today, he'd say, not us, okay? But you pleasure-seeking church. You guys are there to seek comfort and pleasure for yourselves. That's why you're here. You serve me so that you can gain from me. You serve me so that I can give you, so that you can live comfortably. And that's not what Scripture says, and we're going to look at what Scripture says. But we've become a generation who it's about the next lekker thing. Lekker, man. Moet lekker wees. Ek moet human rights. Don't infringe on my space. I've got my rights. Don't. It's my life. I'm going to live it on my terms. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it. And well, sure, I go to church, I pray, so God's in this. God's in it to win it. And we're going to do it my way because it feels good. It feels right. It feels nice. It's lekker. And we want instant gratification. We've become those people. Don't want to wait. And again, I'm using examples from my own life so that we don't offend people. But I want to lose weight in 3 months, 2 months. Because I want to feel good now about myself. So I don't want to take 3 years to lose 33 kilograms. Because there's no fun in that. There's no feel good in that. There's no instant anything in that. We want instant everything. I don't feel like I say I'm going to go eat something now. I'm going to shove a burger in my face so I can feel better. And again, I've said this last time and I'm saying it again. Don't judge, because a friend of mine said, if you haven't walked 1,000 days in someone else's shoes, shut your mouth, because you don't know what that person is dealing with. Easy for you to see me back then, thinking, yeah, you fool, you can't even control your mouth. But you didn't know what was going on in my life back then. Sheriff carried away my whole house. My wife was pregnant. Medical aid was behind. Is that an excuse? No. I was just far from God, so I had no anchor to run to. But that's a story for another day. I believe comfort immobilizes you in every way. Think about this. Think back about the times when you've been most effective for God. When you've had intimacy with God. It wasn't when everything in your life was perfect. Or not in my life, at least. It was when you had serious challenges facing you. And I'm talking serious. And that's, again, relevant to everybody because maybe your serious challenges are something out of my frame of reference. Maybe your serious challenge is whatever. So your challenge for me is insurmountable. My challenge is this, but for me it's overwhelming. For me it's tough. So it's, again, not focused on around you. your personal journey with God. That's what matters. That's what he's after. He's after your heart. Because he knows if he can get your heart, he can conform you to him. And the moment you conform to him, you become useful in his kingdom. You become powerful. You become happy. You become free. You become peaceful. You become wealthy. Because your values change. Now what you value as wealth changes. So you're a wealthy man. Plus you then eventually also get the stupid spoils of the world, which is money, because it gives you authority over that. Discussion for another day. Comfort immobilizes us in every way. Think about it. I remember when I only had one car between me and my wife. We went from 5 cars to 1 car to no car. Who's here that was here? Hello, Behu. She was there when we went camping. We had no car. I had 2 kids. My wife was working and I was working. I even had a business. Didn't have a car. So we'd use my mom and them's car. So that we'd have 3 families driving with 1 car. And I would drop my wife off, drop the kids off, do this, work the job, work at night. She'd work. And you know what the funny thing was? When I started getting tired and feeling like, yes, I don't have enough time and things. When we all got our own cars. They got a new car. My wife got a car. I got 2 cars. And I woke up one day and I'm saying, yeah, I'm so busy and I'm so tired and I wonder why. But I had more comfort. I could go when I wanted, where I wanted. It wasn't 4 hours a day. I literally had to take out 4 hours out of each day just to commute everyone around. But now I've got 4 extra hours and I feel more ineffective. And then I would get to Sunday services and I'd get to small group because I wanted to, not because it was religion. And then I get my own car and it's like, yeah, I've had a tough week. I'm staying home today. I deserve it, you know. God will understand. No, you fool. You've got comfortable. Is it bad? Not at all. Does God want me to struggle? Not at all. But comfort makes it more difficult for you to pursue God because I'm okay. I don't need to rely on you to get through today because physically I can't handle, I've never had cancer, but the chemo I can only imagine. How do you get through a day like that? Got so comfortable, I don't really need God. Now it's nice to have God. And I've just seen in my own life, the more comfortable I get, the more difficult it becomes to really be intimate with God. Because I slowly, like a python, it slowly strangles you. And one day you wake up and you're like, oh. Things change over a period of time. So, let's look at what the scripture says. I do believe you need to fight to keep your life simple. Such a contrast. But we need to fight to be chill. And chill in context of what we are saying today. Chill to be at an intimate place with God, whatever that means to you in your space. To be at peace with, to be intimate with. And there are a lot of little checks and balances you can do. Have I really got joy? Not this fake flimsy thing that people put on when they see you. Johan, Hanna, goeden jy, lekker, lekker week, nice, lekker. Jere saam met jou. No. Joy, that you don't say a word, it's just a look. Peace, that you can't describe. And it's ebbs and flows. But is that something that you can say on the inside? I've got this unspeakable joy. Have I got this unspeakable peace? Have I got this overwhelming sense of God is with me. And if not, that's okay. It's okay. That's normal. Just don't stay there. Fight to get back to the place where you've got this unspeakable joy and unspeakable peace. We need to be intentional about our lives. We need to be intentional about being careful that comfort and pleasure don't overwhelm us without knowing it. Because that's the thing about comfort and pleasure. It's sort of like denial. You don't know it's there. How many times would a friend say, yeah, you're backslidden? No, I'm fine. Because I don't know that I'm backslidden. Until the day it's like a cold bucket of water. Oh, shucks, I am. Okay. Johnny, ek is jammer. Ek is backslidden. Jy was reg. So the same thing with this. You don't know you're comfortable. You don't know when you're in it. Because life is good. Life is nice. Same conversation we had at small group a while back. What really differentiates us from the world? And the person's house we have small group out at is really an extremely wealthy young man. Extremely. He's probably got wealth that I will never see in my life, and I'm grateful for that. And what an amazing man. Really a humble, a person God has placed in my life as a beacon of humility. But the point I want to get to, and he raises this question, but I'm really talking about wealth that I don't think we can fathom. And we're discussing this one night. He says, what do you tell a non-believer who's got everything? We're talking about the sheikhs in Dubai. I mean, this guy's got a place the size of Mimosa Mall with rooms better than our one and only hotel for his falcons, for birds. That's his frame of reference. So how do we go to this guy now and say, how do we go to this guy and say, but look at my Jesus? And he's saying, okay, so let's talk. What is this Jesus? Why should I follow him? What are you going to say?
Because he's going to give you a nice house. Going to get you a car. This guy opens a shed and there's
only one Rolls Royce ever made, gold plated, sitting in his garage. Saying, okay, what's next? We get so comfortable. So just want to build my little life. And me and my family must just be okay. And they must be okay. It's not going to be cool to rock up in heaven and your family is in tatters and thorns on earth. That's not what I'm saying. So we get so wrapped up in this little Bloemfontein in my suburb, in my life, my little space. So, we need to consciously take the offensive. Let's look at what the scripture says. We need to take action. I've highlighted there. It's not highlighted in the Bible. Please don't. Take up the cross and follow him. So I've highlighted a few things that I believe are relevant this morning. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let's just stay there for a moment, and let's look at a few of these things in relation to these assassins that kill us spiritually, comfort, pleasure. Deny yourself. Well, surely you need to deny yourself, because some Saturday afternoons, you're on, you didn't, and when I was helping out, didn't feel like coming to pack chairs. But you deny yourself is a good example, relevant. Eh? It wasn't fun. You made it fun when you got here, but to get here, it was like, okay, self, go away. If anyone desires, let's just start there. You need to consciously desire to pursue Christ. And lo and behold, the moment you get comfortable, the desire starts fading away because there's no more focus. I'm fine. I can put food on the table. I've got lekker, nice, lots of zeros in the bank if anything happens. Blah, blah, blah. So money is a relevant term because it's easy, but I know it's much wider than that. It's a lot wider than just money. It could be physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever the case might be. If anyone desires to come after me, God is saying, I am king of the world. Not arrogantly, that's who I am. I can't deny that. It's like me saying, I'm not 187. I am 187. That's who I am. It doesn't help I say I'm not. God is ruler of the entire universe. Saying, if you desire to come after me, you desire. You desire. So what is this? We need to take action. Daily, you need to take action to awaken, grow, develop your desire to go after him. Scripture says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. It's not arrogant. He understands that if we are not going to pursue him, his hands are tied. Those of you that manage people, have staff, maybe at school, have you ever noticed when you try and help somebody who doesn't want to be helped, you offend them? Staff member, you can see something's not right, and you tell them, hey, that thing. Months from now, they've left, or they're heavy offended, or there's a big meeting because you've invaded this guy's personal space. Same guy, same thing, comes to you and says, you know what, I'm at the crossroad in my life, I don't know what to do, advise me. You say to him, that thing. Months from then, he says, yeah, greatest advice ever, thank you. Because there was a change of heart. He came, he said, I want to. We want God to pursue us. Make me feel good. Make me like a cozy. Make me. God says, and we'll get to that. He does that in any way because he's so amazing, but under his terms and conditions. Just go back to the, for what does it profit a man if he gains all or loses his own soul? Now we've spoken about this a lot as well, but this world that we are seeing now, everything, let's go again, the material things, it's like hell's marketing department. The things of this world. They are to lure us into this lie of what we should want and should need. It's just there to distract us from why we really are. We are yet to glorify God, to see people spend eternity with us. It sort of becomes, and I'm very far from fully understanding it, but it's like the Matrix at times. It's all just like, it's a distraction from what we are here for. We are here for God and for people, because ultimately that's why God died, for people. But we get so tied into this little bubble that is the world that the devil rules, and then that becomes important. What is it going to profit you if you own the whole world? Let's say you were the new world order. You were the king of this world. Do you really think you can handle that amount of power and money, not get corrupted? Are you really going to turn the whole world towards Jesus if you had to have that position? So what does it help you to gain this whole world? What does it help you? And again, in context, the beautiful girlfriend. If it's not from God, it's going to destroy you. It's going to take you away. And you lose your own soul. What is the second step we can take? So one, we need to take action. We need to pursue God. We need to daily take up our cross. Follow him, pursue him, desire him, understand what we are busy with. Two, and there are only 3 points, so. We need to toughen up. A good friend of mine always has a saying, he says, toughen up, buttercup. And it's true. Toughen up, buttercup. We get so offended because, and I'm using Johan because he's a good friend of mine and I know he won't take it personally, so it's just examples. You get so offended when, Johan didn't greet me. Johan didn't phone me on my birthday. We just get so sidetracked because now I'm missing the 77 or the one person that God wants me to reach, that one day that he sends a path. One, it's one moment. It's not this one moment. He sends one person. He says, Sean, just feed this guy for me. And I'm so, just Johan. toughen up, buttercup. So what? Oh, I didn't. Christians are so mean. They're so mean and they've hurt me. Sure. And there is hurt. And it's real. But deal with it. Go to God. Let Him give you open heart surgery. Let Him fix it. And let's move on. But let's not turn on each other, because then we're just losing focus of why we are. Toughen up. Oh, Sean, talking to myself, don't feel like going to church. Yeah, well, suck it up. You need to get to church. And when I leave, I think, oh, thank goodness I went. I really experienced God. But when I don't go, I don't know what I miss out. So I just lie in front of the TV and watch TV. What did that help me? Nothing. But in that moment, I need to fight. Need to go on the counter offense. I'm going to take action. I'm going to go. I don't feel like it. I'm going to deny it. I'm going to go. Not because I want to see people or please people or I've got a certain position that I need to uphold. Nothing. I'm going because I really just want to get close to God. That's why. Just want to, if there's one thing I can get this morning, then that's great. I want to keep this desire awake. So if we look at what the scripture says, it says the narrow way. It says enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Destruction of your life. And there are many who go in by it. Many. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Now, let's start at the beginning again. I'm not talking about this. Oh, draai hierdie las vir die Here. Staai om die Here te dien. Julle. Sê vir julle, dis die. Maar ons doen het, Nee man. Get some joy, get some life, get some freedom and get to the Savior. Let Him deal with you. But even with that, you can have unspeakable joy and peace, but it's not easy. It's not easy. Bible says it's not easy. He says difficult. So if it's not difficult on the outside, hey pal, maybe you're not doing it right. I'm not saying create chaos in your own world, but maybe you're not where you need to be. Maybe God is trying to say, move. And you're like, it's not God. No, that's not God. Maybe God is saying, give. No, but I can't give that. I mean, how am I going to pay my bills? Give. Narrow is the gate. Difficult is the way. Toughen up. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. Deal with it. Make that exciting. Jeez, I'm so excited for this next challenge, this mountain that we're going to climb. It's going to be so awesome. It's going to be freezing up top there. I might lose a few fingers, but at least we're going to have cool stories when we get down. That's going to be lekker. Well, then, oh, yeah, yeah. God's not into that. Can't be. Think in your own life. Yes, when someone doesn't want to move, you just sideline them. Don't have time. Don't have time to sit and mollycolly. God is patient, and He's got a plan, and you'll use all things together for good for those who love Him. But He's going to find someone else to overcome that mountain. He's going to find another giant slayer, someone else who says, give me the challenge. I know my God. I understand I've got a purpose. So we need to go on the count. We need to counter this thing. We can't just sit and say, okay, well, I'm not going to be comfortable. You need to consciously take action. Take action. You need to fight this thing. To say, okay, hold on a second. I'm now going to look for the uncomfortable. And let's move on to number 3. We need to keep focus. The only reason these things happen, and I speak in my own life, because I lose focus. I lose focus of why I'm here. I lose focus of what's important. I get so tied up in life, friends and church and business and work and family and kids. And before I know it, it's like, I can't breathe. And I've just lost focus. And the scripture originally that was on there was Revelation 2, but it wasn't relevant, but it is relevant. We've lost our first love. You know, all of this is easy when I'm sold out to Christ and I'm sold out to Jesus and I'm sold out to why I'm here and I'm so focused on that one thing. This becomes complicated when it becomes about, yes, I need to arrange this and do church camp and be daddy 1,000 and husband 1,000 and friend 1,000 and... No. Just be 150,000% sold out to Jesus. Just have a look at what Paul says in Philippians 3. All for Christ. But what things were gained to me that I have counted loss for Christ? Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Can we just stop there for a moment? Let's just read that again. Paul isn't saying all these great things I've acquired. He says, I've counted all things lost for the knowledge, just knowing, just that, because when you know him, you have a relationship with him. That is the ultimate. I've arrived. I've tasted it. There's nothing that compares. He says, further on, he says, I've suffered all things. This I've suffered, eh? And count them as rubbish. Rubbish that I may gain Christ. That I may pursue him. That I may bring him into my life. All these things I've counted as rubbish. Rubbish. Just for the knowledge of Christ. Not for getting married, the relationship, getting my degree, building a great life. Those things will come. Don't get the wrong side of the message. Read your Bible. Matthew 6:33. We all know it, but do we believe it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You can live in the mansion if you seek first the kingdom of God. You can have the beautiful wife. You can if you have. Not the other way around, because sometimes I want that so that I can come and pursue God. God cannot be into that. He can't. He says in his word, seek ye first my kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. Don't seek my kingdom and I'm not in it. You've tied my hands. I can't do anything. So, verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Next one. Pressing towards the goal. Same scripture. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. This is shouting out one thing for me. Paul had one goal, and that's what Jesus also. Jesus had one thing. If you really try and get to the theme, he wanted to glorify the Father, the will of my Father. Everything was, yes, but the will of my Father. Yes, but the will of my Father. Father, not your will, but not my will, but your will. Your will. Whatever you say, whatever I've learned from the Father. And that's what he taught us. There's only one thing here. Just one goal. Everything else will be added unto you. But we lack faith because I'm not seeing the wife appear next to me. I'm not seeing that relationship and I'm 33. I mean, a woman should be married by 33. Relax. Rather you get the wife or the husband God intended for you at 50 than you get the fool you might get at 35. Stay focused. We all. And I know how easy it happens because I wake up one day and I'm like, ugh, why is... And I've just lost perspective. God has moved and I've stayed. I've got my method. This time I do quiet time, that time I do prayer. And that's great. You need to be disciplined. But I haven't moved. I've lost focus. There's one thing why I'm here. One thing. One thing. And ask people that have acquired what you want to acquire in any area. The higher you go, the more difficult it gets. And the Bible says it's more difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they become self-sustaining. You can manage your crises relatively. Stay focused on why we are here. Stay focused on God. And with that, let's finish off. With all these things that can sound like law and burden and this physical push that we're gonna push through in the physical, we're gonna make it happen. No. Can't do it. All of these things are always rooted in a relationship with God. If you know the Father, you know the Father's heart. You can talk to him and he talks back. You've had an encounter with him. These things start fitting in like pieces of a puzzle. These things become the law. Every day you wake up and you've got your checklist of the 15 things I need to do today to be a good Christian. And what's relevant for you is not relevant for you. It's not relevant for you. We've all got a different role to play within seeing God's kingdom come. God has got a different journey with each of us for one common goal. So you need to knuckle down. Just get to the Father. And He will change you from the inside out. And He will give you revelation of these things. His Spirit will convict you. You will do certain things, not knowing even why, but you'll know it's right. And you will have massive challenges that people will think, I would have crumbled, and you will say, give it to me. I know what's inside of me. I know where I'm going. I know why I'm here. God is real. He's alive. He's the real deal. Paul, a lot of guys in the Bible, experienced a lot of things. I've experienced a few things, good and bad. There is nothing that compares to knowing Jesus Christ, having a relationship with Him. No drug, no house, no car, no girlfriend, nothing. No food can honestly, over the long term, fill that. God is waiting for us, His church, to stand up. Not arrogant. Say, yeah, we are. We know who you are. We know what we need to do. Let's rock and roll. Let's make it happen. We're focused. Got a lot of faults? Sure. Let's close our eyes. Father, what a privilege to know you. What a privilege to be able to just talk about you and just share your greatness. Maybe for some of us this morning, Father, just don't even know you. We know of you and we've heard of you. And maybe our parents or our peers or other Christians have hurt us or painted a bad picture of you. And we think, oh, you're so far out there. And maybe we haven't experienced you. I just come and pray for any individual like that this morning, Father. Just to open their heart again and break off that wall and that hard layer around their hearts and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to give you the chance to come in. Not what other people have said about you. Not what my parents have said about you, a book, a movie, my friends, someone who hurt me. I'm going to let you come and show me who you really are. Just come and pray for that this morning, Father. For people in their quiet, still places, maybe driving in a car, just to say, okay, Jesus, I challenge you. I challenge you to show me who you are. And just pray for that process to start, Father. And this morning, for those who know you, for all of us, Father, just come and pray for a simplicity in our following you. Just in a simplicity and a hunger for you to say, Jesus, there are no words. Forgive us when we make it so complicated, Father. Create all these rules and regulations. All you've said is, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. I am. I was and isn't. will be, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. Stop being wise in your own eyes. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Wholeheartedly leave the things of this world. Enjoy them. Don't let them have you. Enjoy the things I've given you. Enjoy the nice things. But follow me. Follow me and I'll make your path straight. It'll be difficult, but I'll be with you. I've overcome death. Nothing this world can throw at you can overcome you if I'm with you. We just come and repent where we make it complicated. We just come and open our hearts this morning. Tear our chests open and say, take whatever's inside, Father. Take the good with the bad. And help us deal with the bad. And may you be glorified, Father. Our lives are useless in our own hands, but powerful in yours. And just glorify you for being such an amazing King. And have your way in us, Savior. Ignite the forest fire in us that consumes us for you, that just want to talk to you more than watch TV. Just want to pray more than be on WhatsApp. And thank you for being such an amazing Savior. You are the King of Kings. Come and pray for everyone here, Father. Thank you for a great week. Pray for insight in their spirits, Father. For those who don't know you, for a desire to get to know you, to pick up that phone and phone the Christian brother that knows you and starts to walk a road with you, Father. Just come and pray for all of our members that planted. And just come and pray that you breathe new life into them, that they come back with greater joy and peace and understanding and focus and purpose than ever before. Keep them safe on the road, our family members traveling. In Jesus' name. Amen.